to District 32 Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Campbell, and it's my absolute pleasure to interview each of our members so you can get to know them just that little bit better. Now, as business owners, we always have just a little bit of a problem. Sometimes it's getting new assets. Sometimes it's working out what you're going to do next. Sometimes it's expanding. Sometimes it's moving. And they always need a solution to these things. And sometimes it can be quite confusing. I mean, it's not my area of expertise, which is why we go and find someone who knows what they're talking about. Casey of Sirius Finance is just that man. Welcome.
Thank you.
So why Sirius?
Why Sirius? Funny thing, it originally started with just trying to find a name for the business.
Right.
And I ran past a friend of mine who was a senior editor at one of the newspapers, thinking he's a words man, he deals with English all day long.
Absolutely.
And so I ran a whole bunch of ideas by him, and I ran this one by him just for the sake of it. And he said, stop. He goes, wait. He goes, how did you spell it? I said, S-I-R-I-U-S. He goes, yes. He goes, that's you.
I said, why? Yeah.
That's the question. Why?
Why? What made it stand out? And he goes, because I know you. And he goes, you're always serious about what you're doing. He goes, whenever it's work related. But anytime I talk to you outside of anything that's work, he goes, you simply aren't serious at all. You don't take yourself serious. You don't, you know, nothing about you is serious. You're always joking, laughing, carrying on. I said, you know what? You're right. That's the way it should be.
So yeah, you should be S-E-R, but you're actually
S-I-R.
I-U-S, yeah.
As in the star.
As in the brightest star in the sky. There's all sorts of meanings to it, and that was part of the reason we also went with it, was because, you know, an old adage I used to have said to me and then stuck with my head was, you know, shoot for the stars and land on the moon.
My dad used to say the same thing, is get there, go, and then if you happen to land on the moon, you're still...
Aim high.
Aim high, absolutely.
You're always going to get somewhere.
Right. So, something you've always done?
Finance or aiming high?
Finance. Aiming high, I'm assuming is one of those.
I'm always aiming high. Yes, I'm always aiming high. Finance, no, I've done finance for probably about last 17, 18 years. Before that, I was in a communications field, and before that, all sorts of little things. And I think my first job out of high school, I think, was manufacturing windows.
I can see the connection there.
I can't.
I didn't do it very long because I kept breaking them.
Right. So... was it just you came out of school and went, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do and I need money for baseball cards?
Yeah, no. Obviously, family life was a bit different. And it was put to me that by not my father and my mother, but people I was with at the time, it was put to me that, you know, now that you've finished high school, you need to either get a job or move out. And I was like, okay, well, I've done both. I've got a job down south, moving out and getting a job.
Wow. Yeah, well, there's things I've got. If I've got a job, why wouldn't I move out?
So, and I was originally going to go into some sort of engineering or architecture and that sort of thing. But I naturally gravitated to numbers for some reason. So that's pretty much where I ended up. So after running around for a few different years doing different things and I guess just getting life and experience, my wife eventually said to me, she goes, you're wasting your time on communications. You're not using your brain.
So by communications, you mean, I'm assuming you know I've been talking about something, you're talking about installation?
Yeah, sorry, communications, so hardware, mobile phones, services, that sort of thing.
Right, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I can see how that wouldn't, knowing you, you know. Yeah. I mean, yes, we've got some tech side of things, and I can see how that appeals.
Tech was the appeal.
But, you know, how many times can you plug wire A into socket B and go, ta-da?
Yes. Well, I mean, I didn't do any of the hardware installation. I was always on the sales side or the solution side. But yeah, it was the tech side. I enjoyed getting my hands on the latest and greatest things and playing. Part of the thing with ADHD is you like to find something new and shiny and pull it apart and then go, oh, look, I pulled it apart.
And it doesn't go back together again.
Don't ask me to put it back together.
Because I've got these six other bolts here left over.
Fantastic. So it's interesting, isn't it? You make reference to your ADHD. Now, some people see that as such a disability, but I know that that's not your approach to things.
No, it's not. I think I was diagnosed ADHD about 3-4 years ago.
That's really late in life.
It is, and it's not something that you just acquire. It's not, you don't just get it or it doesn't develop all of a sudden. You've actually always had it.
So it's not an allergic reaction to mushrooms. All of a sudden you were fine one day and you wake up the next day with this focus and amazing power. And
You didn't go to sleep with a sniffle and a headache and wake up with
something else.
With your superpower.
Yeah. Oh, superpower is what I call it. And it took actually probably about 18 months to maybe 2 years to actually really understand it, how to work with it, how to work around it, how to avoid some of the pitfalls that come with ADHD. While there are some negatives, it's actually just understanding and identifying that those negatives are really associated to, an uninterest or an inability to sort of garner an interest in it. Because something that we're interested in, we will devote hours upon hours of time to learn it, understand it, master it, do whatever it is that we want to do with it, and then move on. Right. And so, you know, videos and things, I talk about, you know, or I have a picture that says, you know, we do things 150% faster. Because when there's something that we're really interested in, and I love finance, we hyper-focus. And then we really drill down. And so I don't just come back to a client with a solution. I come back to the client with solution A, B, C, D, E, and F. And then I have G lined up in case A falls over.
Do your clients find that overwhelming?
They do, but I don't provide them all of that.
Ah, so you've got the background planning. You've got the whole strategy. And you've gone, would you like A or B? Neither? Okay, what about C or D?
A, B, or C. Realistically... if there are, you know, there are a multitude of lenders that will do the same solution, really, you know, three seems to be a bit of a, I don't know, it seems really corny to me to have three options.
So but I actually provide four.
From an end user point of view, three options is, I've got some discretion here, I can choose, I'm still in control. Whereas if you say A or B, it's like giving you two flavours of ice cream, do you want chocolate or vanilla? Well, you know, whereas if you've got a third option, and I guess with a fourth, as long as it doesn't get to that overwhelm, it makes you feel all grown up and like an adult, like you've still got control over your environment.
Well, it also helps. It helps a client also understand that you know, if you've got four or more options, then there's really no reason why something shouldn't occur, right? And then things happen. You know, we find out as applications progress, it's just the natural way of things. But if we're looking at it, we're saying, well, you reasonably have four options. That's a pretty strong vote of confidence that, hey, let's go ahead and get something done because you're not going to really have any issues.
Yeah, so it's not like you're offering, sort of saying, well, here you go, there's these four jumpers, and you go outside and go, but I don't need a jumper, it's sunny. You've got actually, you're trying to solve a problem, and that's one thing which we've really noticed with having conversations with you before, is it's such a solutions-focused business.
It is.
As opposed to going, no worries, give me your numbers. Oh, look, ANZ does that, which just doesn't spark enthusiasm. Because I know whenever if I'm coming for finance for something, and I say I come to you and say, Case, I've got this really great idea, I'm all fired up about my idea or my opportunity. And then if you just get met with beige, it sort of kind of takes the excitement out of your project. You think, oh, and you begin to doubt it. Whereas if you meet with someone like yourself who engages from a financial solutions point of view, who gets just as excited and fired up about your project as you do, if then it falls over, you feel like everybody's given it their best shot, rather than going, you know, what if I found someone who's a bit more exciting? Maybe it would have worked.
I mean, there's some exciting people in our industry who are, very, you know, probably far more exciting to speak to than myself. But I guess the way I look at it is, it is really that solution side. And I can almost give you a perfect example. And on the way in here this afternoon, I actually was on the phone to someone while I was driving in.
And on hands free, of course.
Oh, yes. I've all built into the car. But his exact issue was he'd recently changed part of what he did or his business. Mm-hmm. And he'd actually already been to the bank, and he'd already been to another broker and two other brokers who had actually already all said, no, you've only changed in the last 3 months.
Oh, of course, you don't have the trading record. You don't, you know, it's a viable product, blah, blah, blah.
Is it this? Is it that? How do we know it's going to work? How do you know it's sustainable? I was actually just asking him some questions and drilling down, and went, hang on a second, that's actually no different to what you did before.
But it's the same person doing it. And if they were successful before, why wouldn't that? As long as obviously he's not suddenly decided to sell mice robots to rather than paint houses. Yeah. As long as there's some sort of continuity there, you'd think it wouldn't be that difficult to find the connection.
And it's not really. It's really a case of understanding the client, having a conversation about where their background is, what it is that they do, and or what it is that's changing or what not changing, and really just getting to know them, because it's through that conversation that you actually learn everything that you need to know about whether or not a bank will reasonably allow you to borrow what you want to do, whether it be for your home, whether it be for a new opportunity, a project, whatever it is. And look, there's a multitude of examples that we have where, I guess, year after year, that's what we're doing for clients. It takes longer. It's actually, that's the part that becomes enjoyable.
But the thing is, it might take longer, but when you're investing your time into trying to find, you know, obviously a financial solution to the next great idea, while it might take slightly longer, if you only have to do it once, surely that's a better outcome than having to go to lender after lender, no, no, no. And it begins to take that excitement and that enthusiasm out of the next great thing.
Or it starts to wear you down. A lot of people don't like being told no. And as much as a lot of people say they just want a quick no, and we can provide it, yeah, look, if there's absolutely no hope, we'll, as soon as we can get to a no, that's what they need to know. But at the same time, people don't like hearing no so regularly. And it's not a case of you're always going to get what you want. Sometimes it's a case of, hey, look, this solution that you want isn't available in that way, or you can't achieve it in that way. But if we actually approach it in this way and we restructure in a certain format and we use products or whatever that you may not have heard of or used or thought of before, they actually can be used in exactly the same way, and yet they're now available for you. Have you thought about this? So it's not just saying no, or not just saying you can't do it now. It's actually, even if the solution isn't immediately available, it's saying these are some alternatives that possibly can do. Have a think about it.
And is that something you can go, well, I see what you're trying to get as an end game. If that might be not possible now, but if you do A, B, C, where you line up these balls in 6 months' time, we can then proceed with that.
Yep.
So that's something you can assist with as well?
Yeah, it could be in 6 months' time, or it could be as easy as saying, well, maybe we have to stage it where we go, okay, we've got to pull in lender A first and get them on board. Once we have lender A on board, we then need to pull lender B and get them on board and comfortable that lender A and B are working together. And then we've got to pull in lender C. And regardless of whether they're a bank, whether they're, you know, some sort of asset funding, even if there's some sort of private funding arrangement, essentially at the end of the day, if the project, whatever it is that you're trying to achieve, is viable and has a return on it, and it, you know, those costs can fit within that return to a comfortable level that's good, you know, good for you, why not?
Absolutely.
It's a lot, like I said, it's a lot more work, it's a little bit more complicated, but now you've got the opportunity. Whereas before, lender A and B and C by themselves said no, you never had an opportunity to begin with.
Because they're also trying to spread their risk as well.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the thing. Okay, so if we're looking, if you've got people out there who are looking for this opportunity, who are finding that perhaps they're not quite seeing how they can move forward with it, or they're not sure what their options are, best person to talk to is you?
Absolutely.
And you can come up with, or in a lot of cases, at least listen to and put forward some creative solutions to some of these problems?
Yeah, and it's good to hear, it's good to hear about what they want to do and sort of where they've come from, because those are the really two key factors that allow us to really start to put those solutions together. And, you know, the experience that we have, I mean, I've been in finance 18 years. I originally started in finance. I did debt collections and repossessions in the morning and approvals in the afternoon.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So if you wrote a bad loan, yeah, you had to go collect on it. Not in a bad way. You weren't repossessing cars or kicking people out of houses. I mean, that's what debt collectors are for. But you had to go through the process of saying, look, you're behind on your repayment. What, why, and what can we do to bring it up, and how do we avoid this happening again? And for some people that works, and for some people it's a long, slow process of months and months, and for some people it just never works. But you learn that as you go. So I did that for a couple of years, and I did a couple of years of motor vehicle and heavy equipment finance, which is really a very fast-paced game. And then eventually I got into business banking, which, you know, did that for about 3 years with ANZ. And that was now about learning to argue your position, right? Why should the bank, you know, lend to you and da-da-da, and then go to the bank and, well, even though you work for them, but they go to the credit manager and say, this is a valid, reasonable risk to take. This is why, this is what we're mitigating, and this is what we're, you know, the benefits overall to both parties. And, you know, that 7 years or so that I call my apprenticeship, saw a lot. And then for the last 10, 12 years or whatever that I've been out on my own, we've seen even more again. So usually having the conversation with someone, I'll very quickly, and that's, again, coming back to my ADHD, I'll very quickly start to gather points of who they are and their business and the industry that they're in and some of the battles that they're fighting and some of the issues that they're seeing and where the opportunities are. I'm actually creating a picture in my head. And I'm pulling in all the different categories of policy and banks and stuff, and I'm forming all in my head as I'm going. And by the time I finish having a conversation, I could actually probably go back and write down all the details of which banks I think and the reasons why and where the policy mismatches are and how we can overcome them.
So if someone out there's listening and they want a solutions-based finance person that speaks bank.
That speaks bank, yeah.
That speaks bank.
That speaks bank.
Sometimes we don't speak bank. Sometimes we just chat a little on the phone, but that doesn't always work.
But you know what I mean? You get what the banks need to hear and how they need to hear it. So speaks bank. Best way to get hold of you?
Reach out. I say that a lot, but you know, give me a call and really we sit down and go from there. The moment I have a call from someone, that's the point that I really want to engage. If they've got time, at that point in time, it's fresh in your mind. You're wanting to achieve something. You've usually something that's fresh and it's going to come out straight away that whatever that critical point is, I'm going to pick it quite quickly. And that's why, you know, I like people to call me rather than anything else, because then we can have a conversation.
So call you on?
Oh, my mobile, 0414-444-122.
Brilliant. And you've got a web page and they've got contact forms through that, but it's a bit disconnected.
Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it, that people actually tend to reach out on a form first or visually. But with you, give you a call, you can have that chat.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you for your time.
No worries, thank you.
Thanks for joining us on District 32 Radio. If you'd like to know more, please head across to our website, district32.com.au.